good to be with you tonight. And you've probably had the cream all week while you're back to the bread and butter of things tonight. Thank Reverend Campbell and the board for the invitation to come and share with you in the anniversary services. I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 19. John chapter 19, please. And we'll read from verse 25. John chapter 19. And we'll read from verse 25 and we'll finish at verse 30. John chapter 19. It says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold thy mother. From that hour that disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he saith, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Just a short word of prayer, please, and we'll turn to the word. Our Father, simply asking for the help and the aid of the Spirit of God, and may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. I would suppose if you'd have been at Calvary's cross that day and you'd have saw the Lord Jesus Christ on the center cross and one thief on the right and the other thief on the left, you would have said, his life is ending in tragedy. And yet, folks, tonight, it wasn't a tragedy. It was a triumph. Calvary was a triumph. And you see, with words like that, it is finished. It meant the cross was a triumph. A wonderful spiritual triumph. Matthew 27:46 tells us he cried with a loud voice. But John here tells us what he cried. It is finished. Or if you want it literally, it was only one word. He shouted, finished. And you see, many people start off with great plans to do something. I have a son-in-law, and he's always doing something about the home. And my daughter gets a bit frustrated, for he never gets around to finishing it. But he goes out and finishes work for his friends and other people, and he's always starting a project, and he's always doing something, and he never finishes it. But I would like to leave you with this thought tonight. The will of God was completely finished. And how clearly the will of God was seen by Christ. You see, he didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. It is finished. You see, if you know the scriptures, as a 12-year-old boy, Mary and Joseph had lost him and went back to find him. And they found him in the temple and they were concerned about him and they were looking for him. And he said to them, I must be about my father's business. And at Calvary, he was about his father's business. One day he was sitting weary at a well talking to a lady, and he asked her for a drink, and he told her he could give her spiritual water. The disciples came back and found him sitting chatting to the lady, and they asked him to eat something. And he says his meat was to do the will of him that sent him and to finish his work. And you see, in new buildings here tonight, we have to preach a faithful Savior and a loving Savior who completed a finished work. You see, folks, everything the Scripture said about him in relation to his birth, his life, his death, some of it was in promise. Some of it indeed was in picture form. Some of it was in poetry. Some of it was in prophecy. Have now been fulfilled. He said it himself in John 17:4, that great high priestly prayer, I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. How glad I am he finished a work. How glad I am that he finished a work that God gave him to do. He came to do a great work. A great work, the work of salvation. Now I want to ask you, do you know anything about it? Now I'm not asking you, have you got it in your head? I'm asking you, have you got it in your heart? For that's what salvation is. It's an individual work of God in a heart. In a heart. Head knowledge you'll never save. It's in a heart. And you see, not only how clear was he about what God was doing and what God had finished, he was certain. He spoke the certain word. He said, "It is finished." You see, today there's folks that believe that Jesus was a rebel. And he fought against the establishment. And he paid with his life and he died a terrible, terrible death. Now with words like that, it is finished. It should thrill our souls to know that our sin and every piece of our sin can be put upon him at Calvary. You see, in biblical times, this word, "it is finished," it was the common language of the day. You could have went about and heard someone saying, "It is finished." Servants used it. You know, the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire then was full of slaves. And of course, the master would have given a slave a task to do. Maybe cut the garden, maybe tidy the house, maybe take the children to the school, maybe pull up a nice fence. And you see, when he finished the work and he'd come to his master, he would say, "Tetelestai, finished. Master, I have finished the task which you have given me to do." Do you know, folks, according to this old book, the Lord Jesus Christ was a servant. Sometimes we don't like to hear him called a servant. He was a servant, Paul says in Philippians 2 and verse 7, "but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You see, it said he made himself of no reputation. Man and dear, sometimes we're worried about our reputation. You know, what does people think about me? I don't care what you think about me. Not a bit of it now. Think about me whenever you like. But we're always concerned about our reputation. Or the reputation of this, or the reputation of that. Lord wasn't worried about his reputation. Not one bit of it. You see, he came to serve. He came to save lost sinners. He came to save you. That's what he came for, you see. And you see, when he saved you, Christian, you know what he saved you for? To serve. To serve him. To serve one another in love. Do you know this here? Love serves. Love serves. Anybody does a work for God that's out of love, love serves. And you see how certain the words were spoken by Christ. "It is finished." Servants used it. Do you know a priest would have used it? The Jewish priest would have used that word. You know the Old Testament economy. You brought a lamb for your sins. And of course you brought it to the priest and he would inspect your lamb. It wasn't allowed to have a spot or a blemish or a mark or a broken leg or anything like that there. And when he would inspect the lamb, he would use the equivalent of the Hebrew and he would say, "Now, it's perfect. It's perfect." And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect, faultless sacrifice of Calvary. And today you can find what's wrong with the church. And today you can find what's wrong with the clergy. And today you can find what's wrong with the Christians. But you'll never find anything wrong with him. Not a thing now. You know, my own mother wasn't converted until she was 80 years of age. And every time you shared the gospel with my mother, she had a Christian who said this, who done this, and done that. Do you know this? I believed her. She was telling the truth. But I wasn't offering my mommy a Christian. I was telling my mommy about Christ. Yes, some of them were ducking, and some of them were diving, and some of them were scheming, and some of them were dragging his name through the gutter. But I didn't offer her them. I told her about a Savior. You know this here? She was like a brand plucked from the burning. Oh, she got saved all right. Saved all right. Wasted years. I wonder, are you wasting years because you know a Christian? I know, shame on us. But it's him. No fault in him. How do we know there's no fault in him? Well, sinners said there was no fault in him. Do you remember Pilate? He scourged him. Pilate, what did you think of him? Find no fault in him. Judas, you betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. I betrayed innocent blood. I betrayed innocent blood. But what does the Holy Spirit say about him? That's a different matter. He says this here in Hebrews 7:25-26. Wherefore he is able to also deceive them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us. Now listen, what about him? He's holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, he's separate from sinners, he's made higher in the heavens. There's not a mark on him. I meet a lot of folk out there and they say this and that and all. Listen, I often say, when you find a fault in him, here's my telephone number, ring me up. I haven't got a call yet. Now, you'll not find any fault in him. Not one. No faults in him. And you see, priests use that. And I wonder if he even asked the Father what he thought of them. Of course, he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Christian, you're pleased with him. Sure, he's a wonderful Savior. Sure, it's glory just to walk with him. It's marvelous to live for him. It's wonderful to know him. And you see, when you use this word, tetelestai, or finished, boy, you had to be certain what you were talking about, you know. You had to be sure. And the Lord Jesus Christ was sure. An artist would have used this word. You see, he went and done a lovely painting, and when it was complete, he would have stood back and he would look at me and have said, finished. Finished. Do you know when you put all the Old Testament types and shadows and pictures about, you see salvation in him. You see the glory of God in him. People say, I want to see God. Do you know, you see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's where you see it. And that's the full picture of the work of God. The shadows, the types, the pictures, the prophecies, all brought in full view in him. Do you remember the downcast disciples after Calvary? He'd been crucified and they're walking down the Emmaus Road. And boy, they're the way some of us get on. Their chins are below their knees. And they're defeated. And they're discouraged. And they're downcast. And a stranger comes alongside them. And he begins to chat to them. And then he upbraids them because they were foolish and slow of heart. And then it says he opened up the scriptures. And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them all the things concerning himself. And that's what the gospel is. And that's what Calvary's about. Folks, it's all about him. It's all about him. And you see, of course, merchants use this word finished. You see, what would have happened is, you would have went to the marketplace. You put your eye on a lovely bit of furniture. And the merchant tells you how much it's going to be sold for. And you put the hand in the pocket. You pull out the checkbook or the shekels. And you pay him. And you see what happens was he wrote you a little chit and he wrote on it, tetelestai, finished. You'd bought it. The transaction was done. The piece of furniture was yours. The debt was paid in full. You know, folks, man's in debt to God. Man is in debt to God. And every man gets his wages. And folks, unfortunately for us, the wages of sin is death. You always get paid. But listen, the gift of God. Now, what do you got tonight? Are you going to get your wages? Or are you going to get the gift? All people will get their wages. Man, I used to love to get the wages. You know, when I was single and living at home and hitting the town on a Friday or Saturday night. Boy, you love to get the wages. But you see, when you get the gift, that's a different thing. And that's what happened, you see. These people would have used that word. And when the Lord Jesus said it was finished, folks, let me tell you, he meant it. He knew what he was speaking about. And it says in this old book, in Hebrews chapter 9:26-28, it says these words. If I can find it with these bifocal glasses. It says these words. Where am I? Yes, 9:26-28. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But listen. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You see, Christ was offered once. Now, when you dealt with the merchant, you only paid the price once. You didn't have to pay it again. And of course, if the readers didn't pick up on that, the writer to Hebrews said in chapter 10, and he said in verse 10, if I can get it again, he said these words, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, I showed a friend of mine up one time in County Mayo. So today, Desmond, come here and read that. How many times is there an offering for sin? Once for all. He near dropped. Aki says, anybody could put that in the Bible. Well, I says, I didn't read it. See, you know, when you turned your back there, Desmond, I didn't sneak it in. Once for all. And of course, if they don't get it, he says in verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. In case they're slow on the uptake like me, 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. 18, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Aren't you getting the picture? Calvary was a finished work. A total and utter finished work. You see, the will of God was completely finished. You know, somebody came to the old open-air preacher one time. Was it Dr. Torrey or old Harry A. Ironside or some of them men were preaching in the open-air. And they wanted a debate about religion. And he says, now listen, sir, there's a lots of religions in the world. There's hundreds of religions. And the old boy was a wise man, you see. And he says, no, there's only two. There's those that say do, and there's the one that says done. Now, what one are you depending on tonight? Is it the doing or the done? You see, the will of God was completely finished. You know, folks, the work of grace was completely finished. Salvation is a work of grace. From the first book, Genesis 3:15, God promised a Savior. He says to the devil, there's one going to come. Now, he says you're going to bruise his heel. Ah, but he'll bruise your head. He bruised his head at Calvary. He bruised his head at Calvary. Now, you think of the believer's certainty in Christ because of that. Well, it says in the book of Hebrews, I know we're jumping about a little bit tonight, but bear with me, Hebrews chapter 1. And it says these words in chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners, speaking times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also we made the words. It's verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. When he had by himself purged our sins. He didn't need man's help. A lot of folk are trying to help the Lord get themselves to heaven. And you notice the purging. You see, people want to go to a place of purging. It's already in the book. When he had by himself, a good marginal Bible puts that wee word in, cleansed. And the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross cleanses from all sin. He didn't need our help. And that's the believer's certainty. That we know that his blood cleanses from sin. And you see, sometimes we have fears in life. You know, as a young chap, I had a terrible fear of death. I maybe shared it before in a meeting. The reason I had was we lived in a little two up, two down. And when there was a wake or somebody died in the street, the whole street went to the wake. Now, they all wouldn't get into one time. For you couldn't have swung a cat in the wee rooms. But anyway, the folks went in, and I was the youngest man in the family. And I sort of was hung to mama's apron string. And everywhere my mother went, I went. So if she went to awake, I went to awake. And I'll tell you, I looked in the money's box and saw some old folks stretched out. And boys, the day they weren't nice colours. And it frightened me. It frightened me. Now, the sad thing was, it followed me everywhere I went, right into my adult years, until June 1990, when I got converted, and then it went away. And folks, it hasn't come back, and I'm not saying that in a boastful manner, it hasn't come back. It hasn't come back. And you see, that's why he says in Hebrews 2:14-15, he says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." And a fear of death puts you in bondage. And listen, God's people don't die. They travel first class to glory. God's people don't die. Got a letter from missionaries in County Mayo this morning in the post. Sat down to read it. Some nice things are happening. Some encouraging things. But one sad thing was this old gentleman of 80 years of age is afraid to sleep at night in case he dies. Why would he have a fear like that? He has no certainty. He doesn't know where he'll go when he takes his last breath. And I thank God the person he brought that up to told him about a Savior from sin. And I pray that that old soul at 80 years of age would realize that the fear of death is broken at Calvary. Pray for him. Pray for him. That God would save him and take away the fear of death. Do you have that certainty? Do you know you're saved? Do you realize that Calvary was a finished work? Do you realize when the Lord said it is finished, there's no more praying you into heaven? There's no more paying you into heaven? There's no more working your way into heaven? It's finished. It's over. It's complete. And you can't add to a completed work the believer's certainty. But what about the believer's victory? You know, sometimes, well, I'm through life, don't want, boy, it's hard. Who said it was going to be easy? He told you in this world you will have tribulation. You see, if you're going to live for God, you're going to go through the mill. And you see, if you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to go through the mill. And you're going to have many a tear over a broken heart. Maybe a wayward child, maybe a difficulty in the home, maybe problems and difficulties and all this here. And the old devil tries to discourage you and defeat you. And he tries to knock you out of God's work. And the Lord uses it to mold your character and shape you and bless you and help you that you might be a blessing to others. And of course, we all like to talk about victory. Some of us think there's victory in the suit. Do you know what's the way I dress? Man, if you're with the tie off now, there wouldn't be much victory in that. Sure there wouldn't. Oh, boy, don't take your tie off, man. There's no victory in that. Folks, it's not in the suit. It's not in the shirt. It's not in the tie. It's in him. And don't let anybody tell you any different. It's not in the church you go to. It's not in the label you're under. Not a bit of it now. Not a bit of it. It's in him. It's in him. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him. Through him. Some of us Christians, you know, we've got a wee list of do's and don'ts. And if the do's outweigh the don'ts, hallelujah, boy, you're going a dinger. Not right. Oh, you're living for God. Some of the greatest critics I've met in the Christian faith have got a big list of do's and don'ts. You know, it's not about do's and don'ts. It's a relationship with him. And the longer you serve him, the sweeter he should grow. Not right now. And that's your victory. People want to ask you, you living victorious life and all this here. You will if you see it's in him. You will if you see it's in him. And thank God he giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there's times we're down. Yes, there's times we're discouraged. But we're never defeated. Why? Because of him. That's what this finished work was about, brethren. Because of him. And you see, there's the believer's certainty. There's the believer's victory. He says it is finished. There's the believer's ministry. You see, where he left off, we take up. Where he left off, we take up. Now it is our privilege, now it is our responsibility to tell people about Him. Him. Where they exalt Him. Even sometimes in testimony meetings, He's not always exalted. Do you ever get them in to testify in your meeting? The first thing they stand up, I used to go to a church and the minister didn't preach the gospel, and I rascal, and they're attacking an old boy, and they're attacking a church, and there they exalt Him. I was embarrassed one night in a meeting. This boy was slanting this church. Not this one, but this other church. Giving the Church of Ireland a good dig. I too, old dear, saved from the Church of Ireland, sitting in the meeting. You know, I was cringing. You know, we always want testimonies. I'm going to learn now. And seeing the come, I'm going to say, brother, if you have a great man in our church, leave it outside our door. And just come and tell about Him. Tell about Him. And talk about Him. And reflect Him. And lift up Him. And serve Him. Because that's what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says these words, and they're beautiful words, and they're wonderful words. He says these words, verse 15, and that He died for all. That includes you tonight, by the way. Died for all. That they which live should henceforth live not unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. And then He says indeed in verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. There's the believer's ministry. Verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And brethren, tonight we have a ministry. We have a ministry. You see, if you get involved in a ministry, you'll have no time for criticism. Because, you know, it's like the soccer. 50,000 in the stadium, 11 headers running up and down, and they're all criticizing them. But they can't go out on the park and do it. And I tell you now, if you get involved in the work of God, you'll have less time for criticisms. Because you'll realize it's hard. You'll realize it's not easy. You'll realize you'll stand on a door sometimes and boy, they'll tell you where to go and they'll curse you up and down. They'll give you a few verbals here and there. You'll realize it's not easy. But we all have a ministry. Granny, some of you have a ministry of prayer today, isn't that right? Pray for them. Pray for them. You're never out of the ministry. Sets you aside through ill health. You pray and you proclaim Him and you lift Him up to it onward. How do we do it? By love. Everybody likes and longs to be loved. I remember when I was going with my wife, you know, I'm a wee shy fella. I says, well, I wait till she tells me she loves me, or will I say it first? Well, boy, she wasn't too hurry in saying it, you know. So I says, I better get in first. Everybody wants to be loved. And we need to tell people that God loves them. And Christ died for them. And then, you know, when we look at their faces, and man, a dear, some of them's hard to love, aren't they? We have to love them. They're hard to love. You know all about it. Look, that some of you are big. Certainly you're hard to love. And so am I. I'm hard to love. I'm hard to love. And we have to do it with love, brother. And then we have to do it by our life. You know, I met a man one time years ago. We were studying part-time, me and him. And I asked him how he came to know the Lord. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, I grew up in England. He says I was converted when I was 52. He says I was sent to a wee Methodist church now and again for Sunday school, but no real gospel. I didn't understand or comprehend much. And then he says I had to go into shorts through my job at the MOT to work. And he says I met a man. And he says, you know, when I looked at this man and listened to this man, there was something different about him. He says he was different than other men. And he says I began to watch him, but then he says he died. And he says, I went to his funeral, and when I went to the funeral, God spoke to me. Through what? He being dead still speaketh through his life. And he got wondrously and gloriously saved and began to serve the Lord through his life, through his love, through our lips, Now, if the love's not right and the life's not right, our lips will not be right. Our lips will not be right. Now, I worked in jobs here and there in different places. And sometimes people named the Lord. And unfortunately, it would have been better not naming him. Because it didn't balance up. The scales tipped the wrong way. And you see, brethren, if we're doing it with love and we're doing it with life, listen, we'll do it with our lips. And then we're to do it with labor. We're to do it with labor. Because Paul says in verse 14 there, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The Amplified words it this way, for the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us. We're impelled to tell it. We're impelled to preach the gospel. We're impelled to plead with souls and ask them to come to the Lord Jesus. Why? Because it's finished. And I wonder tonight, in new buildings, what are you resting on? You know, some of us weren't converted until we were well on in years. I was 32. And I drunk at the broken cisterns. Now, folks, can I tell you, they failed me badly. They failed my home. They failed my wife. They failed my children. And they failed my daddy. That's what they've done. And that's what they'll do. But when you see that the work of Christ was completely finished, you see, it was clearly seen by Christ. You read John 10, right through. He says, I lay down my life. No man taketh it from me. He says, I part lay it down, I part to take it up again. And the will of God was completely finished. It was clearly seen by Christ. How certain it was spoken by Christ. Why would he talk like that? For he wants you to know. He wants you to know that Calvary was a finished work. That's why he said it is finished. And folks, the work of grace was completely finished. Now, if you're not saved here tonight, on authority of this book, we can show you how. And you leave with a certainty. Not a hope so. Not a doubt about it. A certainty. The believer's certainty. And you can leave here certain that you're saved. I know you're saved. The believer's victory. Make sure, brethren, you're saying it's in him. You see, the Christian life is all about him. From the first book to the last book, he's on every page, believe it or not, because it's all about him. And then the believer's ministry. You know, brethren, stay involved in the work. Some of the most fruitful saints I have known saw more fruit in their latter years than they did in their earlier years. I used to know an old Scotchman. You know, he was still preaching the gospel on the Shankill Road every Saturday when he was in his 80s. Serving the Lord. There's no redundancies, you know. There's no payoffs. And he'll not put you in short time. And you can serve him. And live for him. And love him. And enjoy him. Go home with these words tonight. It is finished. It is finished. And I'm asking you tonight, are you resting on the finished work of Calvary? We pray that you are. And if we can help you, listen, we're not in that big a hurry home. Embarrass nobody. I'm sure there's a room in here. Word of God. Show you from the book how you can be saved. Sure. Uncertain. I'm going to hand back to the Reverend Campbell. Thank you.